Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin, Daf Ayin Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis at the end of three lines to the bottom. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, our Gemara quotes a Machloikis Tanoim that we have already learned. Tanu Rabbanan Ger Noisim Amzeres Divrei Reb Yosi. According to Reb Yosi, a Ger may marry a Mamzeres. For as we know, Reb Yosi's opinion, as we're going to learn in today's shir, is Tekahal Gerim Lo Yikra Kahal, and therefore a Ger may marry a Mamzer. There is an interesting question amongst the Paiskim. According to Reb Yosi, a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzer. We're going to, Mitzvah Shem, learn different situations of people who may marry a Mamzer. The question that comes up is this a marriage that we encourage, or it's a marriage that's permissible? Because on one hand, every person, including the Mamzer, has an obligation of pruruvu. He has a mitzvah to have children. But on the other hand, having Mamzerim, a Mamzer getting married, will cause that the children born will be Mamzerim, and we will have more Mamzerim and Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the Paiskim debate, should we encourage such a marriage so that the Mamzer should be able to fulfill the mitzvah pruruvu, or should we discourage this marriage to avoid having more Mamzerim in Klal Yisrael? Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, Ger lo yisa Mamzeres, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kal Gerim lo yikra kol, the Kahal of Gerim is not considered a Kahal, it's considered a Kahal, and therefore, just like any Jew should not marry a Mamzer, so too should a Ger not marry a Mamzer. Concludes the Braisa, Echad Ger v'Echad Eved Meshuchar v'Cholo, all of these individuals, Mutar b'Kahanis, may marry a Kahanis. Ask the Gemara, my Talmud, Rabbi Yosi, what is the basis of Rabbi Yosi's position that a Ger may marry a Mamzeris? Says the Gemara, Chamisha Kahol Iksivi. The Torah uses the words Kohol five times, and Rashi enumerates those five times. He says, there's one pasuk that says, Lo Yavai Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. There's another pasuk that says, Gam Dora Siri Lo Yavai B'Kal Hashem. A third pasuk, Lo Yavai Amoni Omei Avi B'Kal Hashem. A fourth pasuk, Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavai B'Kal Hashem. And then the fifth pasuk, which is by Mitzri V'Adoimi, that says, Gam Dor Shlishi Yovelahem B'Kal Hashem. Rashi and Tosfos both point out that actually there's a sixth place where the Torah uses the word Kohol, and that's regarding a Soldaka, a person that is unable to have children, that the Torah also uses the word Kohol, that one may not marry a Soldaka. So the Rashi and Tosfos ask, why isn't this considered a place where the Torah uses the Kohol? And actually, as we're going to get into the sugya, Be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach, we'll see that the Gemara actually could use another place where the Torah uses the word Kohol. So why is this not considered such a place? So Tosfos answers that our Gemara is referring to Psula Yuchsin, a Mamzer, a Amoni, Amavi, Mitzri, Adoimi, all of their issue is their Yichus is a disqualified Yichus. A Ptsur Daka, his issue has nothing to do with his Yichus. It has to do with his physical inability to have children. Another teretz that I saw is that, as the Ri says, that the word Kohol and the entire issue that we're discussing in our Gemara is about having children and what will be the status of those children. As we just explained, the whole issue of a Betzua Daka is that he is unable to have children. So obviously he's a different situation than these other cases that we're discussing, and therefore he isn't included in the list of calls. Yet a third explanation why the Betzua Daka is not included is because in all the other issues that we spoke about, they're basically the dinim that apply both to men and to women. However, Tzudaka applies exclusively to men. But it's interesting to note that the Ravid actually does insert the word kohol that the Torah speaks about Pitzur Daka, and what he omits is the fifth kohol that we enumerated. The pasuk says Dor Shlishi Yovel and Bekal Hashem Mitzri V'Adoimi, and the explanation of the Ravid is very simple. All the other times when the Torah uses the word kohol, what the Torah is teaching us is people who want marriages that may not take place. But the pasuk of Dor of by Mitzri of Dor Shlishi Yovel and Bekal Hashem speaks about by third generation Mitzri the marriage is actually permissible. So says the Ravid, that kohol doesn't fit in with the rest of the group, and therefore he puts in that kohol, the kohol of Tzudaka, and deletes the kohol of Mitzri V'Adoimi. So Rabbi Yossi now explains his position. Chad l'kohanim. One pasuk is coming to teach us that a kohen may not marry a mamzer. Chad l'levim. Another pasuk comes to teach us that a levi may not marry a mamzer. For we may think that specifically a kohen who's on a high level of kedusha, he may not marry a mamzer, but a levi who's of a lower level of kedusha maybe can marry a mamzer. That's why we need a pasuk for levim. The next pasuk is Chad l'Yisraelim to teach us that a Yisrael may not marry a mamzer. And then we have the two other calls, Chad l'Mishri Mamzer B'Shtuki. One is to teach us that a mamzer may marry a shtuki, who, as we explained in the Mishnah, is someone who we know who his mother is, but we don't know who his father is. And therefore, every shtuki, by definition, is a suffix mamzer. And the Torah is teaching us that a mamzer may not marry a Yisrael, but a full-fledged miyuchas Yisrael he may not marry, but a sofik mamzer he may marry. And v'chad l'mishri shtuki b'Yisrael, on the other hand, to teach us that a sofik mamzer may marry a Yisrael. And as the Mefarshim point out, the Pnei Yeshua discusses this, if we think about it, these two rules seem to contradict each other. If we're saying that a mamzer is allowed to marry a shtuki, obviously we don't consider a shtuki a full-fledged Yisrael Meyuchas, for we're allowing him to marry a mamzer. But on the other hand, the fact that we are allowing this Sofik mamzer to marry a Yisrael is an indication that we do consider him a Yisrael Meyuchas. So the question is, how does the halacha look at him? Aren't these two rules that we just quoted contradictory? So says the Pnei Yeshua, the way to look at these two rules is not to look at it, does he have the status of a mamzer? Does he have the status of Yisrael? Because that's going to result in a difficulty. Rather, the way to understand is that when the Torah speaks about psulim, the Torah speaks about people who are disqualified, the Torah only speaks about people who are definitely, for sure, posel. Anybody who there's a question about his status, the Torah does not include in when the Torah says that he can't come in to the Kahal Hashem. And therefore, the Sofik has that status. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting Sefri that indicates why here are we so lenient with a Sofik. Typically, we're machmer. We're going to discuss this subject in a few moments a little more extensively. So why here are we so lenient? Says the Sefri, there's a fundamental question whenever we speak about a mamzer. The mamzer didn't do anything wrong. It's his parents who acted inappropriately. And yet he is the one that's the mamzer. But that's the din of the Torah. Says the Sefri, the Torah, even though it was somewhat harsh on the mamzer, didn't want to be very harsh, and therefore, even though a mamzer is asur, the Torah was lenient regarding a Sofik mamzer. So we have used, according to Rabbi Yossi, the five times the Torah uses the word kohol, and therefore there is no extra kohol to speak about Gerim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, Kohol Gerim, Laikri Kohol, it's not considered a Kohol, and that's why a Mamzer may marry a Ger. Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Kohol Gerim, Ikri Kohol, he says, Kohanim Velevim, Michat Kohol Nafka. We don't find, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the Torah differentiates in Yichus issues between Kohanim and Levim. They're all part of Shevet Levi, and therefore there's no reason to have separate psukim for Kohanim and Levim, and therefore Ayisalei Lekahal, there's one Kohol left superfluous to teach us Kahal Gerim Ikri Kohol. Ibayis Ema, another way Rabbi Yehuda could explain his position, that he will agree Hani Nami Trei Kohli Ninu, that Kohanim and Levim are considered two separate congregations, and we need two separate psukim, one for Kohen and one for Levi. However, the din that we spoke about, a mamzer b'shtuki, and a shtuki b'Yisrael, that a mamzer can marry a Suffolk mamzer, and that a Suffolk mamzer may marry a Yisrael, michat kol nafka, it all can be derived from one pasuk. For the pasuk says, la yavai mamzer b'kal Hashem, mamzer vaday hu de la yavai, it's only a mamzer vaday that cannot be accepted, a Suffolk mamzer yavai, a mamzer suffolk can be accepted to marry a Yisrael, and furthermore, b'kol vaday hu de la yavai, a mamzer cannot marry a Yisrael miyuchas, habakal Suffolk, but he is allowed to marry a shtuki, a Suffolk mamzer, to marry a mamzer. And this Gemara is the basis for a famous machloikis rishayim. We know that din is Suffolk deraisa l'chumra. When we have a Suffolk regarding deraisa, we are machma. Suffolk derabanan, when the question is regarding a Suffolk derabanan, the halach is we're mekel. There's a machloikis, the Rambam versus the Rashi and the Ran, that this din Suffolk that we say Suffolk deraisa l'chumra is that midaraisa midrabanan. This that we have to act stringently when we have a Suffolk deraisa, and that is that a rule that the Torah teaches us, or is that a din that Rabbanan said? But midaraisa, we would really be makel by a Suffolk deraisa, according to the opinion of the Rambam. And the Rambam actually uses our Gemara, as according to some explanations, as the source for his opinion. Because our Gemara is teaching us that we could be lenient with a Suffolk mamzer. It's a Suffolk deraisa. If Suffolk deraisa is l'chumra midaraisa, how could we be lenient with a Suffolk mamzer? It must be that Suffolk deraisa is l'kula. However, there are a number of questions on the opinion of the Rambam. One question is that we know the Torah speaks about an Oshem Tolui. An Oshem Tolui is that if someone has a question, if he did or didn't do an Aveira, somebody has a question if he ate a non-kosher piece of meat, he has to bring an Oshem Tolui. Ask the Mefarshim on the opinion of the Rambam, if the halacha is Suffolk deraisa l'kula, so if this person had a Suffolk, if there's a Suffolk, we should be makel. Why does he bring the carbon? So the Shari Yosher explains is that we know that this question of when you bring an Oshem Tolui is actually the subject of another machlokes. Do we say that Oshem Tolui is brought even in the case where one ate a piece of meat, and then a question arises regarding the kashrus of that meat? Do we eat that piece of meat? If we ate that piece of meat, do you bring an Oshem Tolui? But that's one opinion. However, most paskin that we only bring an Oshem Tolui by Ikvi Isura. Ikvi Isura means that we have two pieces of meat. One is definitely kosher. One is definitely not kosher. And now there's a question, which piece of meat did I eat? And there's a question of perhaps I ate the non-kosher piece of meat. There the halacha is that I have to bring an Oshem Tolui. Says the Shari Yosha in explaining the opinion of the Rambam, The Rambam, he says, is speaking, the Oshim Tali is referring to the case where there are the two pieces of meat. And I know there's a piece of meat that's kosher, and I know there's a piece of meat that's not kosher, but I don't know which one is which. So I should not eat either piece of meat, because eating a piece of meat brings me into a question that I perhaps did something inappropriate. That's why, in that case, does the Rambam agree that Yechayiv Anoshim Toluy? Yechayiv Anoshim Toluy because you shouldn't have let yourself into the situation by eating a piece of meat where there's a question if that piece of meat is kosher or not kosher. But there's a different way of explaining the opinion of the Rambam. But before we explain, to answer the question about an Oshim Toluy, and before we give that explanation, we have to quote another question that the Rishonim ask. And that is, the Rishonim ask that according to the Rambam, that Sofik Daraisa Lakula Midai Raisa, there's a question, why does our Gemara have to go through a whole Shakla Vitaria, as we just learned and we'll continue learning, about the status of a Sofik Mamzer? Why doesn't the Gemara just say that the halach that Sofik Daraisa Lakula, and therefore whenever we have a Sofik Mamzer, we should be lenient? So these Mefarshim want to point out that the fact that the Gemara doesn't take that approach is clearly a proof, they say, that we don't say Sofik Daraisa Lakula, rather there's a special din in this situation that teaches us to treat this situation differently. How will the Rambam answer? So the Shef Shmaitzer answers both questions that we've quoted on the opinion of the Rambam with one answer. He says, even though the Rambam holds that Sofik Daraisa Lakula, the Rambam will agree that by Ikve Isura we're machmer by Sofik Daraisa. If so, our Gemara, the Rambam's opinion is very understandable. Oshim Toli, as we said, is only by Ikve Isura. By Ikve Isura, the Rambam agrees that Sofik Daraisa Lechumra. Furthermore, our Gemara, that we're speaking about the Mamzer, is referring to a case also that it was Ikve Isura. We know that there's a person, there's a Mamzer, there's a group of individuals, that one is certainly a Mamzer, but we don't know who that individual is. So it's Ikvi Isura, and therefore, to rely strictly on the concept of Sofik Derabbanan, Sofik Deraisa Lekula, we can't rely on that concept. Because even the Rambam doesn't say Sofik Deraisa Lekula by Ikvi Isura. And therefore, we have to have a special limud. Another way of explaining the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam holds Sofik Deraisa Lekula, and yet, at the same time, the Rambam, the Al Gemara had to bring special limudim regarding the Sofik Mamzer, say the Shef Shmaitzer, says this teretz also, that the din that Sofik Darab, that were made by Sofik Mamzer, is even in a case where Chazaka or Roiv would clearly tell us to treat this individual as a Mamzer, as long as there's any Sofik, the halacha is we're makel by Sofik Mamzer. That we can't learn from Sofik Daraisa Lekula, because the Sofik Daraisa Lekula isn't said in a case where there's a chazaka, a roiv, telling us to be stringent. It's only the special psukim that we're learning in our Gemara that teach us that rule. And yet, a third teretz that we're going to quote is the teretz of the Marit. The Marit says that what will be the halacha if this individual who's a Sofik Mamzer married two women. One woman that he married was a Mamzeris, and one woman that he married was a Yisraelis. For as we just learned in the Gemara, this individual indeed may marry both of these types of women. If we're going to only follow the concept of Sofik Daraisa Lekula, this person certainly did something wrong, because he can't be married to a Mamzeris and a Yisraelis at the same and a non-mamzer at the same time, because either he is or isn't a mamzer. It's only because of the special lamudim that we're learning from the psukim that would allow this man to be married to these, to both of these women at the same time. Vibai Sema, a third explanation in the opinion of Rav Yehuda, Hani Namitre Kolininu. Actually, we need both psukim of Kol to teach us the din of a Safek Mamzer. But if so, where does Rav Yehuda learn the halacha that Safek, where does he learn that Kal Gerim Ikri Kal? Says the Gemara V'tamid Rav Yehuda Mihacha. The basis of Rav Yehuda's psak is from this pasuk. The pasuk says Hakol Chuka Aches Lechem V'Lager Hagor. So the pasuk clearly calls Gerim a Kal. So now ask the Gemara, according to Rav Yossi, the opinion of Rav Yossi, with which we began today's shir, that says Kol Gerim Layik Rekol, how will he explain this pasuk? Well, Rav Yossi, if the pasuk would have the word Kohol right next to the word Ger, indeed it would be a raya the Kol Gerim Ikri Kol. Chuka Achas Hifsek Inyan, however we have the word Chuka Achas separating between the word Kohol and the word Ger, to teach us the Kohol, that does, so we don't have a proof that Kohol Gerim Ikri Kol. Continues the Gemara, Echod, the Brisa said, Echad Gev, Echad Ever Meshuchar, V'cholol, all of them mutar v'kohanis. Says the Gemara, Masayle l'Rav, our Mishnah supports what Rav said, Damar Yehuda Merav, V'huzra k'sheris l'nasi l'psulim. A person, a woman, who has a good yichus, may marry a person who's a weak yichus, a ger or Eved Meshuchar. And as the Mefarshim explained, because the Torah, when it speaks to the Kohanim, the Torah says, "Emma al kahanim b'nei Aaron, b'nei Aharon, v'loy b'nei Aharon." That these rules were said only to the b'nei Aharon; they weren't said to the b'nei Aharon. However, the Rishonim do very much point out that in a situation where a kohen may not marry a woman, for example, a kohen may not marry a grusha, the iser isn't only on the kohen; the grusha also is prohibited from entering into such a marriage. It's only here where we're speaking about a kohenis, there's no issa for a kohenis to marry such a man, and there's no issa on either of these individuals to marry each other. Says the Gemara, Darash Reb Zeira ben Mechuzah. Reb Zeira came to say a speech in the city of Mechuzah, which, as we will see, Mechuzah was a city that was a city of people that came from Gerim. And he made the following statement, Ger Mutma Mamzeris. A ger may marry a mamzeris. So says the Gemara, Ragmua kula alma besroi gayu. The people pelted him with their esroigim. And the Mefarshim discuss why did they throw their esroigim specifically at him. So one shot that I saw is that the Medrash suggests that the esrig lulav hadasim are corresponding to the avos. And the Esrig corresponds to Avram Avinu. We know that Avram Avinu was a ger. We spoke about it just the other day. So they said, by offending gerim, by saying that a ger may marry a mamzer, you're offending Avram Avinu, who the Esrig commemorates Avram Avinu. But then I saw another pshat. The Torah calls the Esrig a pre-Eitz Hadar. Torah, when it speaks about the Esrig, speaks about the Esrig in terms of its toldos, about its peiros. And what these people were telling Reb Zeira, by saying that a ger may marry a mamzer, even if we'll hold, like Reb Yosef, that the latter get married to each other, still, as we said at the beginning of our shir, the children will be mamzerim. And obviously, you're not concerned about the peiros, about the children that will be born in Klal Yisrael. But the Torah teaches us pre-Eitz Hadar, that we do have to be concerned that our peiros, that our children should be in Eitz Hadar, should be beautiful, unblemished in the Yichus. So how could you suggest that a ger should marry, be allowed to marry a mamzer, and there will be a multiplication of mamzerim in the world, isn't that contradictory to the lesson of the esrig? The lesson of the esrig is creates hadar. We should have children who are perfect, not chas v'shalom blemished. Amar Rava. So Rava commented to Rav Zeira, Mi'ika the darsh milsik gahai b'duchta the shchichi giyuri. Is this a smart thing to do, to speak, to make such a speech, specifically in a place where there are so many geirim? So darsh Rava m'chuzah. So Rava said a speech, and he said, ger muta b'kahenis. A ger may marry a kahenis, as we just learned. And to'anu b'shroi, and everybody put on silk, fine silk over him. He's complimenting the geirim. Hada darsh luhu. Then he got up and made another speech, and he says, ger muta b'mamzeris. A ger may marry a mamzeris. Armalei, I've said it to l'kamaisa. You ruined your first statement. And your first statement promoted geirim. Your second statement does the opposite. Amalahu, the tavluchu avdiluchu. I did you a favor. Ibai mahachinasiv, ibai mahachinasiv. You could choose. If you want, a ger can marry a kahenis can marry a ger. On the other hand, he can marry a mamzer. So you could choose. However, I saw a nice pshat in the Rishonim. What he was suggesting to them was that a ger can marry kohenis and a ger can marry mamzeris, but certainly a ger should attempt first to marry kohenis, for as we said, by marrying kohenis he'll have children of excellent yichus, versus marrying a mamzeris where the children will be mamzer. V'ilchasa ger mutter b'kohenis mutter b'mamzeris. A ger may marry both mutter b'kohenis, as we learned, loy huzruk sheris minasi lipsulim, and mutter b'mamzeris, because we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Kahal Geirim, Layukra Kahal. So the Mishnah says, Eilein Shtuki, who is considered a Shtuki? Kahal Shemaker, he knows who his mother is, but he doesn't know who his father is. Amar Rava, Dvat Torah Shtuki Kosher. Midaraisa, a Shtuki should be considered a full-fledged Jew. Maitama, Roiv Kisher Metzla, who is a Shtuki? A Shtuki is a woman who is unmarried and had a child, and we don't know who the father is. So says the Gemara, Roiv Ksherim Etzla, or Mi Psulin Etzla. Most men are men that she could marry, she could have relations with. It's only a minority of people that are possible. Furthermore, Ezla Inul Gabor, if the man went to where the woman was, we have a situation called the Parish Merubah Parish. We always say that if somebody left a group, we say that the one that left is from the majority. And in fact, I saw that the Arve Nachal says that that's pshat in what Eliezer said when he came to look for a wife for Yitzchak. He says, Hine anoichi nitzov el ein hamayim obenoish anchei ir yoitzois lishov mayim. Why did he make this entire speech? He should have just said that the girl who comes out to offer me water, that's going to be the right girl. So he says, we know that Avraham Avinu specifically did not want Eliezer to take a Canaanis for Yitzchak. So he went outside of Canaan. But there's always a concern that there may be a Canaanis girl even when we're not in Eretz Canaan. So he says, V'hine anoichi nitzav, I'm standing by the river, ubenois anchi yaitzis. We're going to have a situation where the women are going to go out. So it's going to be a situation of called the parish, Merubah Parish, and certainly the rive of the people who are in this area are not Canaanim. What is the concern? The concern is, Dilma Ozli Ihi L'Gabai Hiu, that she went to the man, Havalei Kavua. So it's a situation of Kavua, and we know that Allah is that Kol Kavua Kamechza Mechzadami. That whenever we have a kavua, we don't follow the halachas of roiv. There's machlokes achroinim why we don't follow the halachas of roiv. Rabbi Chanan says that the din of roiv was not said by a situation of kavua. In other words, roiv, he says, is a chiddush that the Torah teaches us that we should follow roiv, and it wasn't said in a situation where we have a kavua. Rav Shimon Shkop learns differently. He says, since the Isser is Kavua, it gives the Isser more of a presence, and it won't be considered that there's a Roiv against the Isser. So, even if it's a situation of she going to the man, and therefore it's a situation of Kavua, a Mechza Mechza, we go back to what we just discussed in the Gemara. Hatayra Amra La Yava Mamzer. It's only Mamzer Vadai Huda La Yava. It's no more than a Suffolk. A Suffolk Mamzer Suffolk Yavai. The Ka Vadai Huda La Yavai. Have a Kal Suffolk Yavai. And that's why Midda Raisa Ashtuki is fine. The question, however, is Umatam Amru Ashtuki Pasul. Why did Chazal say that a Ashtuki should not marry a regular Jewish woman? A Shtuki should only marry a Shtukis. So ask the Mefarshim, what's the Gemara's question? We just discussed earlier that even according to the Rambam, where there's a Suffolk Wemachmer. So here, even though Midaraisa we could be lenient, Midarabanan, the Rabbanan Wemachmer. So the Mefarshim explained that since we've established, as the Gemara just said a moment ago, that we're makel, that we're lenient by a Suffolk Mamzer, and the Torah goes out of the way to teach us that we should be lenient by a Suffolk Mamzer, so how could the Rabbanon disagree with something that the Torah clearly told us is permissible? And like we said earlier, we want to be lenient, like the Sefri taught us, with Suffolk Mamzerim. So the Gemara's question is, why are we being stringent over here? The question, answer the Gemara, Gzeirah Shem Yisach Chosim Aviv. Since he doesn't know who his father is, the girl he marries may end up being his sister, maybe his father's daughter, and therefore we don't let him get married to a regular Jewish woman. Ask the Gemara if that's the concern. He shouldn't be allowed to marry Shtukis either, for the same concern that maybe this girl is his sister. Says the Gemara, do we have to be concerned that every Shtuki and every Shtukis that is in this city comes from the same man? Says the Gemara, but if so, Bashtukis lo yisa. Even if we're saying that it's unlikely that the Shtukis that he's going to marry is the same, has the same father as he does, the halacha is that the daughter of a Shtukis, that means a Shtukis got married to a person she's allowed to marry, has the status of a Shtukis, and a Shtuki can marry her. Now, the question is that it's very possible that the father of the Shtuki is the husband of the Shtukis, is the husband of the Shtukis, and therefore he should not be allowed to marry this girl. So if we're concerned that the Shtuki may marry his sister, we should not allow a Shtuki to marry the daughter of a Shtukis. Ella, what must we say? Leishchicha, that these two people that get married, there should be all of these circumstances coming together, that this is the, that they share a father, is leishchicha. Says the Gemara, Hachin Nami Leishchicha, so he should be allowed to marry Yisraelis, for the same reason, that the chance that he's punked marrying his sister is so very remote. Says the Gemara, indeed, the concern is not that he's going to marry his sister. The answer is, Malos B'yuchsim. Chazal were careful, and this person, Shtuki, is of an inferior Yichus, and that's why they said that he should not marry a Yisraelis Miuchesis. Vamarov, Vatara Sufi Kosher. And a Sufi, as we learned and will learn, is a child that's found. We don't know who his parents are. My Tama, why should we be lenient? Ashes ish b'baal Torah. If the mother of this child is a married woman, so she could tell, even if she did have an illicit relationship, she's going to say that the child born to her is from her husband. Ma'ika. So who could have been the mother that would have abandoned the child? There's an Arusa who doesn't live with her husband yet, and if she got pregnant from someone else, she's going to abandon the child. Or meet Shalach Balam Din Siyam, her husband traveled overseas, and again, there she can't say that the child is her husband's, because her husband wasn't here that to have relations with her. However, there's just as much of a situation, kivan dekapnuya. There's a situation that the woman was unmarried, and the child born out of wedlock is not apostle. Ikanami the machmas ravin. Or the situation where there's a couple that have a child, but it's a hunger, and people unfortunately can't support their children, and therefore they abandon the children. And again, as the Rishonim explained, what the Gemara is attempting to do is trying to prove how unlikely it is that this child should be a Vadei Mamzer. So, because we have all these Shilas, it's no better than have a Palga Palga. It's a Suffolk. Tyra Amr, as we said before, Lo Yavah Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, Mamzer Vadei Hu De Lo Yavoi, Ha Mamzer Suffolk Yavoi, B'Kal Vadei Hu De Lo Yavoi, Ha B'Kal Suffolk Yavoi. So, if so, that is kosher, Matam Amru, a Sufi Pasul, why did Chazal say that a Sufi could only marry an Asufis, a Shtukis, but she can't marry a Yisrael Miuchases? Because we're concerned, Shem Yisa Chois Miovid. Because it could be that this girl he married happens to be his sister, because we don't know who his parents are. Says the Gemara, if we have such a concern, Amata Sufi Asufis, he shouldn't be allowed to marry an Asufis either. And here the concern is even greater, because we don't know neither who his father nor his mother are. He may end up marrying a woman who's his sister, his maternal sister or his paternal sister. Says the Gemara, we don't have to be worried that these people abandon all their children, and that's how these two children, this boy and girl, are from the same parents. Says the Gemara, Basa Sufi Layisa, but he should not be allowed to marry the daughter of an Asufi, Shemi Yisa Choysoi. And as we explained before, we should be concerned that perhaps this girl who comes from a parent that we do know her parents are is the sister of this boy who we don't know who his parents are. El Ashkech, what must we say? The chances that these two individuals that are getting married, a brother, sister, is highly unlikely. So she should be allowed to marry even a Bas Yisrael. What must we say? Mala Osu B'yuchsin. It's a special consideration that Chazal was concerned about the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Omar Rava Barav Huna. Matzumahol. If we find an Asufi who had a Bris Mila, and as the Rishonim point out, and it's in a situation where we don't have to be concerned that he was born Gemalit, so the fact that his parents went out of the way to make him a Bris Mila, it's a proof that anybody Mishum a Sufi, that he is not a Mamzer. Mishalti had Maya, that we found with his limb straightened, something they used to, a procedure they used to do after the birth of a child. Again, anybody Mishum a Sufi. The fact that his parents took care to do this is a proof that he's not a Sufi. Shaif Mishcha, if he was massaged with oil, or Malakachla, they put powder around his eyes. Rami Chumra, they used to put a bag with herbs around him. Tali Piska, or if they put a paper hanging from his neck indicating that he's not a Mamzer, he's a fine Yichus. Tali Kameya, if he's wearing a Kameya. In all these cases, these are proof that Ein Bei Mishum Sufi. Tali Vadikla, if he was hanging from a tree, Imata Lechaya, if it's a tree which an animal can reach, Yesh Bei Mishum Sufi. The fact that the parents abandoned him to such a place is a concern that he's in a Sufa. Imlav, if not, Ein Bei Mishum Sufi. We don't have to be concerned that he's in a Sufi. Bei Knishta, Smich de la Mischa, if he was found left in the shul, which is near the city, B'shchichi Bei Rabim, and a lot of people attend that shul, again, Ein Bei Mishum Sufi, because the parents left him in a place that it should be found and taken care of. Mlav, but he was left in somewhere else, Yesh Bei Mishum Sufi, we have to be concerned. Omar Abema, High Perid Asufli, if there was a ditch where they store date pits, and they found the child there, Yesh Bei Mishum Sufi. People who live, the children there, certainly are abandoning them, and they're shaydim there, and he's a Sufi. Charifta the Nara, if he was discovered in the river itself, Ein Bei Mishum Sufi, we don't have to be considered he's a Sufi, because since there are ships constantly traveling there, the parents left him in a place that he should be picked up. Peshri, but if they were found in the along the bank, where only water is there when the snow melts, and therefore it's unlikely that ships would travel there, Yesh b'mishum asufim. Tzide Rishus HaRabim, who is found on the side of Rishus HaRabim, Eimim Shem HaSufi, would have to be concerned that he's in a Sufi. Again, he was left to be found and picked up. If he was, on the other hand, left in the Rishus HaRabim, where there's a danger that he'll be trampled, there, Yesh b'mishum asufi, we have to be concerned that he's in a Sufi. Ask the Mepharshim, even if we'll say that all of these different situations, that he's not in a Sufi, so why do we say he's kosher? Why aren't we concerned in all of these situations that he's at least a, if he's not in a Sufi, he should be in the status of a Baduki? So there are those Mepharshim that indeed want to suggest that that's what the Gemara means. He's not in a Sufi, but he's a Baduki. However, the Beis Meir has a very different explanation. He says, an Sufi can have regular parents, a regular married couple, but as we're learning, it's a hunger time, and therefore they can't afford to raise the child, and they abandon him. A Baduki, we know for sure, a Shtuki, we know for sure that we don't know who his father is, and that there's a real question about his Yichus. So an Sufi, says the Beis Meir, is very different than a Shtuki, and once we're able to establish that he's not a Shtuki, he's not in a Sufi, we consider him kosher, we don't consider him a Shtuki. Amar Rava, Ubishnei Meravin, as we just said, in hunger times, that we say that the parents abandon him because they can't afford to raise him, Eimim Shem a Sufi. Ask the Gemara, Ha the Rava Hai, regarding which rule the Rava make his comment. Ilema Arishus Rabim, that if the child was found in the Rishus Rabim, if it's a Shnei Ravin, if it's a hunger year, we won't consider him a Sufi. Ask the Gemara, Eid the Shnei Ravin Katlele, it's maybe a hunger year, but why would they abandon him and leave him in the Rishus Rabim? Ella, at Tzidei Rishus Rabim, where he was found was in the Tzidei Rishus Rabim, but we just said, my year is Shnei Ravin. We said before that if he's found in the Tzidei Rishus Rabim, he's never considered in a Sufi. I feel below Shnei Ravin, says the Gemara, El Kiyat Medirava, regarding what did Ravin make his comment. Ahad Amar Yehuda Amar Abba Amar Yehuda Bazabdi Amar Rav. Kav Man Shebishuk, we find this child in the street, Ovi V'ima in the Manam Lav. We find him in the street before he's taken in. The parents come and say, this is our child, we'll accept what the parents say. Nesef Menashuk, once the child is brought in, Ein Emanim Alav, it's too late. My Tama, Amar Rava, Ha'al V'yotzal Av Shem HaSufi. Once he was brought in, he got the label of being in a Sufi, and the parents are no longer trusted. However, Amar Rava, or B'Shnei Ravin, if it's a hunger year and time, and that's why the parents say they abandoned the child, even if he was brought in, the parents are still trusted. There's an interesting machloikis rishonim, which actually is a machloikis bavli in Yerushalmi. Agamar says that if it's not a hunger year, and the child was already brought into the house, the parents are no longer believed. However, some rishonim say that when we say that the parents are no longer believed, it's referring to a situation where both parents, when one parent is saying testimony. So if it's not a hunger year, and he was already declared in the Sufi, the testimony of one parent is not going to help. But if both parents come, even though he was taken in and already declared in a Sufi, we would accept their testimony. There are other Rishonim, however, say that once he's taken in, the parents will never be believed. The only one that could be believed are two Edim who are not parents. Amar Rav Chisda, Shloish Nemanim La'Altar. There are three people that we accept their testimony, but only if they say testimony immediately. Elohim, a Sufi, Chaya is a midwife, or Peteres Chavrseh. We'll explain each case. A Sufi, Hadamorin, where we just spoke about in a Sufi, that the parents could only be trusted until he's not declared in a Sufi. Chaya, what does it mean regarding a midwife? The Tanya, Chaya, the midwife is Namenes Loimer, Zayot Rishin, the Zayot Sheni. that this there were twins born, and she could identify which is the Bechar and which is not. As long as she didn't leave the room and come back, once she leaves the room, ain't in a menace, that she's no longer trusted. Rabbi Lezer says, if she's still in a position, the menace, then lav ain't in a menace. If she's not there, she's not believed anymore. My benayu, ik benayu the hadar apa. If she turned around, according to the first opinion, since she didn't leave the room, she's still going to be believed. According to the second opinion, once she turned around, or as other Rishonim explained, not that she specifically turned around, but even if she's no longer paid strict attention the entire time, she's no longer believed to discern which is the Bechar and which is not. However, the Rishonim point out that this discussion about the limit that we give to midwives, namonis, is strictly regarding to say which is the Bechar and which is not the Bechar. Because the two children born at the same time, you really have to pay attention carefully to remember which is the one that's the Bechar and which is not. But regarding other halachas, to say who is whose child, there many Rishonim suggest we could be more lenient. Pateras chavrasa mahi, what is the issue regarding pateras chavrasa? The Tanakh. Shalosh nashim shayishenis v'mitachas. There were three women that were sleeping in one bed. V'nimtza dam tachas achsman, and dam was found under one of them. And we don't know which one is the one that had dam and now is a nida. The halach is kulam tameis. Batka achas v'nimtza tameis, but one of them does an examination and she sees that she is a nida. He tameya for kulam tahiris. Amar Rav Chisda, when can we accept this? Shabbat ka'atzma kishir veset, that she immediately examined herself. But if she didn't immediately examine herself, then we could say that maybe one of the other women had dam and she became a nida later. What is the shir veset? So most Paiskim say the shir veset is the time it takes to do an examination. However, others give it up, the Sidri Tahara suggests, up to 24 hours. The Rishonim also ask that why isn't this considered a situation of Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim? Because we have three women here, and we know that the halach is that Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahor, so we should be lenient here. So some say simple tarot, we look at the house, we don't look at the amount of women, and the house is considered B'Rishus HaYochid. Others say that the halach of Sofek Tumah is only regarding a question of we touch Tumah, so we don't know who touched the Tumah. Here, however, Tumah is emanating from the body of the woman, and there we don't have the rule of Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim. Another teretz that the Tosfos Rosh says, that just like when we have two roads, that both are, one is Tameh, one is Tahar, and the two men, two people walking, one walked on one and one walked on the other, we don't know which one walked on which. If they come to ask their Shaila together, we can't say that they're both Tahar, because one is for sure Tameh. Here too we have a situation where certainly one is Tameh. Tana Bonan. Namenes Chaya Lomit Zeh Koyim Vizeh Levi. A number of women had children, and the midwife is trusted to say this is the Koyim, this is the Levi, this is the Nosin, this is the Mamzer. Medvar Mamurim Shloi Karla Shem Irur, when there was no challenge to what she said. Ava Karla Irur, if there's a challenge, ain't in the menace. Ask the Gemara, Ir Demai, what kind of challenge are we discussing about? Ilem Ir Chad, that one person challenges what she said. Vam Rev Yochanan Ein Ir Pach Mishnayim, for a challenge to be considered a halachic challenge, it has to come from two people. Ella says the Gemara, Ir Trei, it's referring that two people, two witnesses, are challenging what she said. Vibayis Eima, Loilem Eim Loch Ir Chad, only one person is challenging what she said. When did Rabbi Yochanan say that for a challenge to be considered a halachically valid challenge, you have to have the challenge from two people? Where there's already cheskas kashrus, where there is no cheskas kashrus, this child doesn't have his own cheskas kashrus yet. Chadnami Mehemin, the error of one is considered a halachically valid error. Specifically, as the Rishonim point out, usually, because the Rishonim ask, if the Torah is accepting, if the Chazal or the Torah are accepting the testimony of this one chayov, this one midwife, so it should be that she should have the same rule as two Edom. And wherever two Edom are believed, the challenge of one person is not enough. And say, Rishonim, one pshat is that's exactly what the Gemara is saying, that she doesn't have, that even though the Torah is trusting her alone, we can't give her that high level of trust because there is no cheskes kashrus for her to base her statement on. Or furthermore, the Rishonim suggests, since there's no way for us to independently be able to verify what who truly is whose child, so therefore, even though we're accepting the testimony of the Schaya, and as the Rishonim explained, because we have no other option who to trust and how to know who is who, but it doesn't give it such a strong basis that we won't accept a challenge against the state.